Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, February 4th, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today, we're going to talk to Aaron Hess, Branch Executive Director of the Southwood County YMCA. Looking forward to talking to Aaron a little bit later. Right now, some of my favorite people to talk to, some of our favorite people to have on the show. We got our friends from the Historic Point Boss, Mike Hittner, Tom Bremner with us. Guys, how you doing?
Yes, great, great. Good morning to James and everybody in WFHR land.
Got very excited to talk with you guys. We're talking history, and we're talking about one of the, more fun events that you guys do, and they're all great, what you guys host over there. This one's so unique, and I don't know anything like this in the area. It's a really fun event. We're going to talk about Wakely's Winter Feast today.
Mm-hmm. And it's, we were just looking at some old tickets, and of course, I think it was at Knights of Columbus at that time, it was $15. Today it's only $20, and look at, 10 years, what the price of increase of everything. So a $20 meal with all you can eat with a buffet that never stops. It's literally, Tom, would you say 24 feet long?
Yes, yeah, it is.
24 foot long buffet there that, and we even like to, encourage people, if we got some left, take it home with you, because we can't use it again. So we pass it on to the people that participate and attend the event. So it's a great event. Probably we've been going almost 40 years. This is probably 38, 37 years old.
I think 89 probably.
I was trying to look it up, and I was trying to see.
Started at Bearin' Community Hall, of course, which is long gone, and then went to Knights of Columbus and the reiteration. Now we go to Nacoosa Community Center, which great facility,
and
been a kind of nice, kind of movement across different places that we've went, and everybody's been exceptionally kind to us and helped us out in those different venues that we were at over the years. So,
for those that aren't familiar with the event, let's let them know what this awesome event is all about.
It's about food and music and fellowship, and it's basically realistically, hopefully it's a fundraiser, because there's a lot of time and effort goes into this, and we're working there from Friday morning till Saturday night late, so 2 days in a row. And of course, all the prep time, and Tom and I and the committee has met at least twice. He's met a couple times with some of the people intimately involved with it a couple times. And so so it's basically wild game and domestic food and all the trimmings with music. Don and Ann Pollock and a friend of theirs, Steve, will play bass. And the three of them are going to be there and play music before and a little bit during, a little bit after. We got lots of raffle baskets. We got silent auction items, lots of good things. And a lot of the things are from the site, one of the silent auction items. Johan, one of our workers down there consistently for many, many years, does carving with bowls and everything like that, and turning of bowls. And so he makes them out of the trees on the site. So it's kind of unique in a sense. And then people can go home with those at a reasonable price. So we look forward to people coming out and joining us on February 15th at Nacoosa Community Center.
Like so much of what we do over there, the Historic Point Boss, it's a celebration of the past while planning for the future and having a better future. And to the point of the fundraising aspect of this, you're not only going to have a great meal, be entertained by some great music, and maybe get yourself one of these raffle prizes or something, but know that whatever you're spending, you're putting back into the community and helping keep the history alive over there at Historic Point Boss. And not just for us, but for the younger people out there that are going to grow up in this area and be able to take some pride in this work, and maybe even setting a standard for those young people when they take over these jobs from us and everything.
Yeah. And we James, talking about younger people, we have the Wittenberg 4-H group help us, and usually about 10 or 12 young folks and their parents, and they come out and wait tables and take things off the tables and help out cleaning up and everything like that. And there's a young group that has been involved with us probably for 15 years now, Wittenberg 4-H, and shout out to Peggy Wetstein and her group for all their help for all these years. And they come out willing, and the girls especially like dressing up, and we have a lot of extra costumes at our site, and so we bring those along, and the girls like dressing up on them, and that's kind of a fun night just for them.
Yeah.
We will have, we should say, also a little bit of dancing afterwards. We had a request for it. We did it for years and years, and then kind of fell out of we didn't have a caller, I guess. It was the main problem. But we're going to have when the evening's just about wrapped up, we're going to have at least a broom dance and a Virginia reel and a waltz or something like that. It'll be called, and it'll be enjoyable for those that want to stick on and enjoy some of the dancing and the festivities.
What will the meal consist of? What kind of food are we talking about here, Tom?
Well, it's a variety, and we try to make it different each year. We'll start out at 4 o'clock with just some snacks, some hot apple cider, that sort of get together.
Yeah.
You know, meet your new friend you haven't met yet, kind of thing.
Yes, exactly.
We're going to do, we start out with vegetables, with corn. I don't know how to, a corn casserole, that's what we're going to call it.
Yeah, it's good.
One of the members is making it, and we're assured that it's excellent. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do that. Stewed tomatoes, sauerkraut. Mr. Wakely himself makes sauerkraut at the site in the fall. Works in the crock all fall, and we serve it here.
Yeah, and then also those tomatoes Tom talked about, stewed tomatoes from our garden at the site.
Oh,
so.
Nice.
Yep. They've been really, really good about that stuff. Hmm. We're also doing something different this year, I think it's sort of Eastern European, but it's sort of a cooked cabbage and noodles kind of casserole to... Mm-hmm. We're trying to do different stuff each year, and it's hard to come up with, you know, oh, I had that last year. No, we're trying to do this different.
Yeah.
Homemade baked beans with beans grown again in the garden. Not all of them because the crop wasn't quite that good. But
there's at least I helped to shuck them, so I kind of know a little bit about it. I think there's at least about a gallon of our own beans.
Oh, yeah, in yeah. So that's
dried in a dried form. So that makes probably 2-3 gallons.
Yep. Right on. So we're doing real well of those. We're all this year, just to be really different, we're doing shepherd's pie, and we're doing it with lamb, which is very very traditional.
Yeah.
We were gifted a lamb.
Hmm.
A good sized, anything under a year is a lamb. So it's a good sized animal.
Tom can tell you about the wrestling match him and Mark had with the lamb.
Yeah. That was, they are not cuddly domestic animals.
Yeah.
They don't like this idea of going with you.
You don't judge a book by its cover with those things.
No. They will butt you.
Yeah.
But we prevailed.
Right.
But we're going to do shepherd's pie. We've done hunter's pie off and on for years, which is the venison or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is the real honest to goodness one. Hmm. We're doing venison cabbage rolls, which has been a hit for a long time. We're doing raccoon ragu, which is a tomato noodle and shredded raccoon. Raccoon is much like pork when you eat it. It's if you had to say, well, it's not chicken, that's for sure.
Sure.
That's what it tastes like. Hmm. We're also doing a roasted raccoon with apples and onions, much like you would a roast pork.
That sounds good.
That is good. Yeah. That's going to be a dandy. We're doing one that we've done several times is beaver with mushroom and wild rice.
Hmm.
Kind of a casserole again.
Yeah.
Really... That's a good savory dish. And then this year, brand new, for the very first time, we're going to have squirrel. We've done rabbit and other muskrat. We do it kind of like a la king, you know, over a biscuit kind of thing, which is very traditional. But this year we were, one of the members has an uncle who loves the squirrel hunt. And we were the beneficiary of, I don't know how many exactly. He told me just yesterday when I talked to him, I got a couple more, he said. So we'll see how that goes, but there's going to be a bunch. By the way, 2 U.S. presidents, their favorite food was squirrel. Chester A. Arthur and William Henry Harrison, both.
Wow.
I was reading an article that said something about the favorite food of each of the 40 whatever number of presidents there are, what was their favorite, and 2 of them said squirrel was theirs. So I'm going, yep, that's good.
That's interesting. That, huh,
that's historic.
Yeah, yeah, I like it. Nice, nice.
then we're going to get into the more domestic stuff. Yeah. We're going to do our dressing again like we always did. We're doing roasted potatoes with onions and peppers. You're already doing mashed on the shepherd's pie, yeah. So we're going to do a roasted, which I like better anyway. but we're going to have gravy. You got to have gravy on your dressing.
Yeah.
We're doing ham and roast chicken as we always have, and then we're going to do a carving station with leg of lamb.
That's a good idea.
And our chef is going to. He says, I know how to cook it. He says, I'll get it to the. You don't cook it well done. It's you kind of. Mm. I'm with him. I've only eaten lamb a couple times in my life, so I'm really looking forward to this.
Oh yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good stuff.
We had a sample at one of the meetings. Took a small portion and cooked it up. You know, and, ooh.
We had a little Greek town near us where we used to live and everything, and it's a big meat with that culture and stuff. So I had a lot of growing up.
Oh yeah,
it's good stuff.
Yeah, and then we're gonna do coleslaw, cranberry relish, rolls, pickles, applesauce, you know, all that stuff that you need to make it all go.
Yeah.
And then we're doing bread pudding and cranberry cake for dessert, both with butter sauce, with the hot butter sauce. And if that don't fill you up, we ain't gonna.
I don't know what will if it doesn't. Yeah, right. Especially for that price. You are not going to find a better deal, a better meal for that price, or a more unique meal. Especially for people that may have not heard us have this conversation over the years when this event comes up and everything, you might be hearing that list that Tom just gave us, and thank you for that, Tom. I'm like, well, I'm not going to find that at Culver's. Yeah, I'm not going to find that anywhere. And that's a big part of this event, Mike, is offering people these unique meals that you couldn't get just anywhere else.
Well, the only time, James, before you'd ever get this, it'd be at some rural location where they had a fish and game club had a wild game feed, but those are rarer and rarer nowadays. And I know there used to be one at Babcock years ago. Maybe it's still going. I don't know. But it's one of those things that we kind of specialize in, because basically the people that we represent back from the Wakely period were eating most of these same foods. Mm-hmm. They were, when we talk about trapping beavers or something like that, they didn't waste that meat. There's no way they wasted that meat. They were making use of that meat besides selling the hides or whatever for use for hats or whatever. So we're basically replicating what the Wakelys would have done. That's why we call it, Wakely's Winter Feast.
Because this is based on, this really is the winter, midwinter parties they used to have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I thought this, I always find this really interesting, this part of it.
Yeah, they used to have cotillions where they invited people, usually in February, after the January thaw. They were getting a little cabin fever, whatever you want to call it, and they wanted to get out of the house and have a good time, so they'd have some music, some dancing, and that sort of thing. They'd have a big feed, and some people would stay overnight, of course, in the inn, and the other people would go home that night, but they'd stay overnight, and then they'd give them a big breakfast on top of it. Now, folks, we're not giving you a breakfast, because we got to be out of there by about 10 o'clock.
Or 9 o'clock.
and after as many hours as we spent there, we almost feel like that's our second home after a while.
Right.
But we're trying to replicate as close as we can to what the Wakelys actually had going in their time and period, because we see newspaper articles about the cotillions they had in February and all this. And the beauty of it, too, is now we've got, James, and especially the last 4 or 5 years, we've got Wakely relatives coming back and
that's
joining
us,
some from Minnesota, some from Utah, different places they're coming from. And they come every year to join us and take part in this and celebrate their ancestors.
Yeah. We are talking with Mike and Tom from the Historic Point Basso about Wakely's Winter Feast coming up Saturday, February 15th, 4 o'clock gathering. 4:50 will be the dinner, and this is taking place at the beautiful Nacoosa Community Center. And guys, you've mentioned this a little bit here and there, but I wanted to take a beat to just thank the people that have volunteered, the people that have volunteered meats for this. A big thank you to the community and all the people that have helped out.
Yeah, especially volunteers to prepare this meal. A lot of people that we only see maybe once or twice a year. I mean, they're not regular volunteers all the time. There's many of those, of course, but there's some people that just come to help out once or twice a year, and that's usually one of the events that they come and help out at.
There's hundreds of hours.
Yeah, yeah.
The planning for the next one begins as we're doing pots and pans at this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We talk honest to God, that's how it starts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk mm-hmm. about what went really well, what didn't go so well, and how can we change it. And what, of course, we're always listening to feedback from the audience there to find out what they thought really they really liked this or didn't or whatever. And so we always try to massage it a bit from year to year.
Yeah, there was the number of people that we get to come in. I've been calling, like you say, some of the ones that we see, not every week, mm-hmm. like some, although some of them. I mean, we have a work group that meets every Monday.
Mm. And most of those people will be there.
Yeah. And they're there to work almost every Monday of the year. I would say well over 40 weeks a year, and they're there.
And we've been picking rocks lately, James and Don Matthews and myself. And then we've had help with, with having them carted over by the tractor or something. But Don and I have been personally picking them. And I woke up the other day and I felt like a little bit like Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble. Yeah. I'm thinking, hey, holy cow, I'm going back in time even further than the Wakeleys, I guess.
Well, and you guys help not only keep history alive and give us such perspective and reminders of these things and pride we can take in this. And historical accuracy is becoming more and more important to communities and people out there. And you guys are better than just about anybody at this and doing that. So much so that your prices are even... in the past, as far as the charging, you brought this up before about the where it went from 10 to 20 now, and 15 to 20, yes.
And it's been that way for 10 years not 10 years at 20, but it was 15 up till probably about 7 or 8 years ago. Then it went to 20. But, at the gate or at the door, it's 25, just we have to upcharge. And then I always go to Tom and I say, Tom, we got 6 more people, can we do it? And after a while, he says, don't do that to me. We can't put any more water in the soup.
Don't do loaves and fishes. I mean, I can't do that. It's way above my pay grade.
It speaks to the popularity of the event, but it also to the going above and beyond like you guys do over there, keeping things affordable for families so that they can attend these events, they can be a part of them, mm-hmm. is a key part of what you do over there. And it's always appreciated, and I always like to bring a note to that. That's done in... We got to keep the lights on. We want to keep this this great organization going and everything. At the same time, we want it to be accessible for people, and I really admire that.
Yeah, we always, James, as we talked about in the past for our different events, certainly not all those that are off-site, but on-site, we always try to keep that children's admission down to like $2 or something. We want to make it so it's family-friendly. You can bring your whole family. If you got 6 kids, you're not going to cost you a fortune or anything like that. And then, of course, we encourage during the regular time of the year to get a family membership, because then you can come for the whole year for the price of the membership. Yeah. But, of course, the winter feast is off-site and doesn't count on it.
One thing that doesn't count. But other than that, you come to 2 events with a family, you're way ahead.
Well, and to parents out there, especially, my mom would have loved this back in the day. My mom, my sister, and I would complain about having meatloaf every Thursday or something like that. Like, take us to this event. You're going to try some different stuff. You're gonna have some different things to. And that the conversation of that, the meeting of people. Tom, you brought this up earlier about running into people early on and stuff, seeing people maybe you haven't seen in a while or making new friends or anything. We have less and less opportunities for that in our society. We need events like this.
And I think, James, especially since COVID, we have a tendency to be more isolated, and of course that's part of the problem with the depression and everything else that's going on in society today. This is a time to come out and celebrate. I think 1 year during COVID we didn't do the winter feast, but otherwise, we did every time. We took a little break there, but it's time to come out and meet your neighbors. The beauty of this event also is, James, is that at least 50% of those people come almost every year. Now, there is new people come in, and that's very, very important, but I can guarantee you, if you sit down at a table, you'll be fast friends in a short time period of time.
Mike, if people want to get tickets for this event, where can they get them?
We've got them at Family Natural Foods, Beaver's Dime Store in Nakusa, and also at Daily Drug, and we'll have them there probably up until about 2 or 3 hours before the evening. So come in, or if you can't pick up tickets, call and have them reserved for you, and we'll hold them at the door for you. We've done that too, also for many people.
We're going to be at the winter market at the Moravian Church on Saturday from 9 to 1. So if you want to stop down and check out the Winter Market. We'll have tickets there too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's, come on down. Check
that
out.
That was kind of a new venue for us, and Tom kind of came up that. And surprising, I've been pleasantly surprised. I've went to the Winter Market a few times, but they got a nice turnout and a lot of regulars and a lot of new people and some great vendors down there.
Yep. So.
While you're checking, while you're checking that out this weekend, pick up your tickets for the Stork Point Boss's weekly winter feast coming up Saturday, February 15th. 4 o'clock gathering, 4:50 dinner will kick off over at the Nakusa Community Center at 416 Crestview Lane in Nakusa. Keep in mind as well, everybody, they're always looking for good volunteers and people that want to be a part of the great nonprofit, the great organization, and the things they're doing over there at the Stork Point Boss. You can find out more by going to their website, historicpointboss.com, historicpointboss.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well and share their posts on your page. You may never know who might see them that wouldn't otherwise. Guys, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks James. WFHR
appreciate the time again. Check them out online, historicpointboss.com. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more Midday Magazine for you here at 97.5 FM 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.